Pastor Powell's. They're coming on down. Here they come. Good job. This morning, hey Dawson, come on, dude. This morning, talk to you about something. I'm wearing something that's helping me be louder. Do y'all know what I'm wearing? Can y'all hear my voice real loud? Bump me up one notch, Brother Jeff. What am I wearing? Oh, yeah, I'm really loud now. Y'all see my microphone? Where's my microphone at? That's right there. Okay, and that helps everybody. I can talk in a normal voice, and sometimes I get so loud, Brother Jeff's going like, yanking that thing back down and whatnot. One of the things that makes this work is this thing right here. Y'all see that? Inside of this thing, open the case up real quick. Wonder what those two things are. Batteries. What will happen? I hope this doesn't backfire on me. What will happen if I take one of the batteries out? Why doesn't it work without the batteries? Batteries do, Dawson. You know? It gives it power. Let's see if it's going to go back to work and hopefully it'll be okay. Alright. Oh, turn it back on. Testing. 1, 2. Testing. There we go. Starting to come back on. Thank the Lord. Well, guess what? The Bible says that we need power in our life. And you know where we get it? From the Lord. He is our battery. He's our source of strength. He's our strength. And so without these batteries, my microphone doesn't work. And without the Lord's help, I can't have a right relationship with Him. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray for God's strength and His power is what we need every day. All right, dear Lord, I thank you so very much for these young people. They have just been awesome this morning. I pray for all the prayer requests. I pray that you'd work in our church. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Y'all did awesome. Y'all walked.
Grace has our special this morning.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but I hope spring's on the way. Does it make you feel good? Come on. Does it make you feel good when spring comes to town? Did you come here this morning to praise God? Well, that was awful weak. Did you come here this morning to praise God? It took me a time or two to sing this song before I figured it out. The Lord was trying to speak to me about, but it says, let the rocks cry out and let the mountains sound off. The rocks and the mountains are out there right now and they're praising God, but there's a verse in the song that says he wants to hear that, but he don't really want to hear them. He wants to hear us. And that poor, sad amen would not cover up a river running down the side of a mountain. So I pray that this song will put something in your heart that you can just praise God this morning and give him all the glory.
Keep silent while we praise. Whoa, let the mountain hold its voice as the saints of God rejoice. We have come to give him glory for his great and mighty ways. So let the rocks keep silent while we praise. The trees all lift their branches, giving honor to the King. The river flows to bring him joy as all creation sings. But there's songs of praise can I compare to the melody we raise. So let the rocks keep silent while we praise. Let the rocks keep silent while we praise. Whoa, let the mountain hold its voice as the saints of God rejoice. We have come to give him glory for his great and mighty ways. So let the rocks keep silent while we praise.
Amen. Now,
there's a special music that on earth we cannot know. When heaven hears the praises rising
from the saints below.
But the Father loves the songs of thanks for those his love has saved. So let the rocks keep silent while we pray.
Let the rocks keep silent while we praise. Whoa, let the mountain hold its voice as the saints of God rejoice. We have come to give him glory for his great and mighty ways. So let the rocks keep silent while we praise. Let the rocks keep silent.
No rock's gonna do my praising.
Oh, let the rocks keep silent.
Don't let the rocks do your praising.
We've come to give him glory for his great and mighty ways. Let the rocks keep silent while we praise. Whoa, let the mountain hold its voice as the saints of God rejoice. We have come to give him glory for his great and mighty ways. So let the rocks keep silent. Let the rocks keep silent. Let the rocks keep silent while we praise. Let the rocks keep silent while we praise.
Pray.
God, yeah. Give him glory. Amen. What a wonderful song. I want to ask if Brother Ronnie Coulter would come on up. Every now and then, I have a invitation or altar call before the message. Kind of flip things in order. And I asked Brother Ronnie to bring the music while we have an invitation. Have an invitation before the message. My message this morning, if you've already peeked at it, is very simple. And I hope that you're not only praising God in song this morning, but I hope you're praising God in your prayer life. I hope you're praising Him in your prayer life. And the very first part of that message says this. And you don't have to open your Bibles, or if you want to, that's fine. But Amos 8:11, the introduction, says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." And so many times, I think what happens is Satan... We live in a fast-paced world and distractions come and we lose our focus on God. It's easy. All you do, live life. Just live life. Life is full of distractions. And I want to try to wipe all that away this morning. So I'm going to ask everyone to stand, and maybe you just pray where you're at, but I want to let you know, Brother Ronnie, as you begin, that the altar's open.
It's been such a long
come right now.
Since I started on this journey, heaven gets closer with each passing day. And though
you know, when the preacher spoke this last week on spite, I think it touched a lot of people's hearts. And I think he meant for us not to be spiteful, but not to practice it. It seems like it's been practiced quite a bit this last week.
I
encourage you to come to the altar tonight.
Brings me closer to that city, Bill. By the Master's scarred hands, the price has been paid, my sins are forgiven, and He leads me each step of the way. As loved ones gather round Him, sadness fills the room, for soon He'll be going to His home far away. As He raised His hands towards heaven, the family heard Him say, "My God's been with me each step of the way. Each step I take brings me closer to that city built by the Master's scarred hands. Oh, the price has been paid, my sins are forgiven, and He leads me each step of way. Each step I take brings me closer to that city built by the Master's strong hands. The price has been paid, my sins are forgiven, and He leads me each step of the way. Yes, He leads me each step of the way.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank You for every heart that is open, every heart that is seeking You. Father, I pray that all of our hearts would be broken. The only way that I can ever be used in my life is if my heart is broken before You. I thank You for our prayers. I thank You for the privilege to meet here this morning. Dear Lord, bless our church. Help us to focus on You and Your Word this morning. Whatever You're leading people to do, I pray that we'd listen to Your Holy Spirit. Dear Lord, work in our lives, work in our marriages, work in our homes. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Promised Land Church, thank you so much for allowing me the privilege. As I sometimes tell people, not only the privilege to be your pastor, but to be your pester sometimes. I hope I always lead the way God wants, not what Michael Reese wants. That is my prayer. I read to you already the introduction. The text is a very unique verse. I remember the first time that I heard this in a song. It was by Phillips, Craig, and Dean. And it says, as a deer runs to water. Well, the King James, it says in Psalms 42, it says, as the hart. And a hart was a type of deer. It's an old English word for a type of deer. And it says, as the hart panteth. That means desireth. I've been so thirsty before that nothing can quench thirst like water can. And it says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth or desireth my soul after Thee, O God. I've challenged our church in January, I know it's the middle of February, to be a Bible reading church, just simply a praying and Bible reading church. We've had the tracts out there. There's still a bunch of them left. About read through the Bible in a year. Trey was looking at there's a devotion setting that on his iPhone and my iPhone, we've got these daily Bible readings that we do, and there's a real popular one going around right now, read the Bible in 90 days. And it's about, I don't remember the exact number, 16 to 21 chapters a day will get the job done. And kind of an intimidating challenge to take on, but it can be done. There's another one out, read the New Testament in 21 days. But my focus is this. What is your desire? What's my desire? Do you desire a relationship with Him? There was one of our students, or one of our players yesterday that was very disturbed, upset. I was too. There was one of the players on the team was getting very frustrated, and he was using some colorful language. And I told our church member that was on the team, I said, we need to pray for him because that's what this program's all about. He probably is not saved. Even though I have heard, you know, Christians, so to speak, cuss and use colorful language, but that particular individual, we need to pray for because why the reaction? Why that talking with that language? Well, yeah, you're upset. Probably not saved. And there would be, matter of fact, that particular young man, and Karen knows a lot of the young kids in our older teams struggle. They struggle with ISS, struggle in school, struggle in home life. Every teacher and people work in school districts know this. There are some kids in our school system that have some tough environments at home. They have some tough environments at home. And they come here and they get a one-hour respite. In other words, a little break from their environment at home. They need the Lord. They need the Lord. The Lord can make a life-changing difference in their life. That's what this program is about. The kids that are on the edge, the kids that are out there that just don't have any environment that points to Jesus. They don't have an environment that points to Jesus. And they come here for an hour and a half on Saturdays, an hour on the weekday, and they get just a little cushion. And they get to see Jesus in us. May we set the bar. May we set the example. As we continue to look at our heart's desire, this deer is running to water. Do I thirst after God? Do I thirst after God? Psalms chapter 10 now. Just back up a little bit. I had mine open to Psalm 42. Now I'm going to back up to that first point in Psalms 10. Our heart's desire. The writer of this psalm brings out two passages. One is a bad desire. The other is a good desire or a right desire. In Psalm 10, 3 through 4, it says, "For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire. Is my heart's desire God's desire?" Because, folks, you can say, for the wicked, but I can be wicked. I can be the pastor and be a wicked. I can have wicked desires. If you're human, I'm saved, but I still live in a sinful body. I'm saved, but I still struggle with my flesh. And it says here in this text here, the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire. Sometimes would you not admit this morning that your heart's desire does not always match God's desire? Mine, folks, I'm a man. I typically am selfish. That is my base nature. That is my default desire. I look out after me. But then when I get to thinking about it, my desire needs to be God's desire. And that's what I want. That's my, and I have to fight it all the time. You say, well, if you're saved, I thought, no. Then you got two people against you. You got your flesh and the devil. Your flesh is always going to have wrong desires. The wicked, verse 4, I'm in Psalm 10, verse 4 now. Through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. What are you thinking about? I guarantee you what you're thinking about, that's what your desire is. Have you ever thought, that's simple. I mean, that's not rocket science, is it? What are you thinking about? That's your desire. The New Testament said it a different way. Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. See, it's not, I'm so glad God didn't make it that complicated. My desire, what are my thoughts? What am I thinking about? That's my desire. I love Facebook. It can be used for good and it can be used for bad. See, and really, when you look at Facebook, guess what you're looking at? You're looking at what people are thinking about. Isn't that right? I mean, they put on their, and some of them are way too detailed. I just got up and went to the bathroom. I didn't need to know that. TMI, too much information. I just burped. I don't want to know that. It's just way too much information. But all in all, I see on there a lot of people who express their, and you hope that, you know, I see people use it spiritually, and they're always texting spiritual things, and I'm thinking, well, I hope that's really their desires, because that it looks almost too good to be true. I hope that would be all of our desires. I hope that, you know, I mean, my life, my profession is wrapped up in seeking God. My profession in my life that God called me into as an 18-year-old was to pastor and to preach. But does that mean Michael Reese's desire and thoughts are always after God? No, because I live in the flesh. So it's a matter of fact, Solomon said, much study is weariness to the flesh. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. My desire. Well, let's look at the right desire real quick. Then you just skip on down and to verse 17 in this same chapter. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. And I've got two basic thoughts out of that one verse. And I put it in that skeleton outline for you. Is your heart prepared this morning? And do you have a listening ear? That's pretty simple. Is your heart prepared this morning? And do you have a listening ear? God, speak to my heart. Help me to have an open ear. Sometimes I get a lot of I've got a hearing aid on my left ear. It's my bad ear. And I definitely don't hear very good without it. And even with it, I struggle. But I guarantee you this, I would rather be stone deaf than lose my listening ear for God. When I cease to hear Him, may my heart be open to Him. Well, speaking of the preacher's desire, turn to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. A little bit of this was brought out in we had our chapel day at seminary where I teach there in Benton. And it was great. We had some great speakers there. And there was a problem in the first church. Man, they were blowing and going. The first church at Jerusalem, I mean, they were rocking and rolling. And people were being saved right and left. Just read chapter 2, chapter 3, and chapter 4. They had some hiccups. They had persecution going on. I got tickled. I read it all the time a church in Phoenix that were having regular Bible studies in this big neighborhood in Phoenix, Arizona. The law showed up. My dad's a retired state trooper, and we were talking about this. The law showed up, and they had orders, but what it was that regular Bible study, because people were parking in the street and all, was violating zoning orders. So they had to cease the Bible study in the people's homes. And because of the zoning laws, that's kind of an interesting angle to go about that. So you can't, depending on what neighborhood you live in, no freedom of religion. So they said they started having multiple birthday parties. This is in the U.S. Yeah. In other words, they would have two or three, one person. I've had three birthdays this year. We're having a birthday party. That sounds like a lie. I've got a book in my office by Harlan Harpov. He's out of Bulgaria. This is in the 60s, and the Communist Party was still real big and all that. And they did the same thing. They called them house churches. And so they could have house church meetings. Many people would say, why are people gathered at your house? The government would show up. Oh, we're having a birthday party. Any excuse they could to have a Bible study. I can't believe that it's happening in the U.S. Well, this church was blowing and a-going. And it says, in those days, Oh, by the way, if you ever want to look any of that up about the zoning laws and Bible studies being, just Google it. It'll come up with a gazillion, okay, examples of that. Anyway, I'm in Acts 6:1. In those days when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily ministration. So basically, the church was growing to a point they had some problems because everybody was trying to help each other out, and these elderly ladies that had there wasn't Social Security back then. And so the church was helping feed everybody. And then notice in verse 2, the 12, they had 12 pastors, basically, the 12 apostles. And so it's a big church. They have 12 pastors. We have two, okay? Thank the Lord for Brother Emery and Brother Trey. And so we got these people. We're trying to tend to everybody, trying to see everybody. We're trying to make sure all the needs are met. And notice the preacher said, well, it is not reason that we, in other words, it does not make sense that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Two desires here. Two desires. Number one, you've got leaders or preachers that desire to pray for you and to study the word of God and to share it. And then you have a church that has a desire, I want to make it where my pastor has that. And I'm glad I've got a pastor who does desire that. And I want a pastor who wants that. And I want to see my pastor better equipped to do that. And all I'm talking about is the desire. Now, there's a bunch of other little side roads we could go in on that subject. But basically, what is my main one point? You have some preachers who desired to pray and to study, and you had a church that desired to help them do it. I'm just boiling it down to that point. There's a lot of other angles you could go at and come up with some food for thought there. What do you see there? That's a pretty good little desire, isn't it? A church that says, I wanted to, oh, and by the way, notice it was the leaders, the pastor, if you will, that said, we need more men for this problem here. And basically, those men, they said, we're going to take care of this so you don't have to. You get back to praying and studying. I thought that was cool. Brother Joe Morrell, who's some of you know, he's a pastor at Flatwoods Baptist Church in Mountain View, Arkansas. And he said, God is working it around. He said, all I want to be is an Acts 6:4 pastor. When I went to Israel, I was talking to our guide, and he said, you see all those guys wearing the funny-shaped hats? And they have the tails, the braided things in their hair. And, of course, those are Orthodox Jews. And he says, listen to this. The Israeli government pays them a full salary, full time. They pay them full time. You know what their job is? To raise, it's going to sound kind of strange, to have kids and to pray for the country. I thought that was interesting. I said, what do they do? He said, they pray for the country and they raise their family. Of course, they're doing it. They don't believe in a risen Messiah. Orthodox Jews don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. But that is interesting that the country, the government of Israel, is paying those guys. I mean, they're free. That's all they do. And they do. And then they bring up their kids to pray for the country, which goes back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, when thou layest down, when thou risest up, and so on and so forth. So that's interesting that these guys would just do that. Oh, by the way, what is the outcome when they handled it according to God's way? Acts 6:4, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Look at the end of the beginning of verse 5 says, the saying pleased the whole church. It says the whole multitude, but we know it was the church there. And then what happened in verse 7? The word of God increased and the number of disciples multiplied, and even a great company of the priests, Orthodox Jews, were obedient to the faith. Well, finally, And lastly, Jeremiah 29. Let's go there. Jeremiah 29, it's the last one, last point. God has a plan for Promised Land. I think it's awesome. God has blessed us and blessed us and blessed us. I think there's a lot of it has to do with our desire. Did y'all know that? The reason that God has blessed Promised Land, you can lay your hand on the Bible and say this. The reason that God has burdened us is because our desire. What is our desire? To see the Word of God spread. How have we been enabled to do that? Through missions. We have done more in missions the last 6 years. It has just gotten more and more every year. We sent out our missionary to the country of Belize. It's going great. God is blessing. We're trying to reach more people here in Hamburg. As much as we reach out in other places and other countries, let's not forget the home front. Let's not forget Ashley County. Let's not forget Hamburg. There are lost people here. And just like the young man that I mentioned that came to our Upward program, he's involved in it. He's not here this morning, but our church member is that said, man, that bothered me. Probably because, why did he behave that way? Probably because he's lost. But every Saturday and every Thursday, he is hearing the Word of God and learning it and hearing it. I don't know his home environment. I don't think it'd be that conducive to the Word of God, but that's what it's about. What tool can we use? I don't care whether you use a 16-ounce hammer or a sledgehammer to build, to make it happen, whatever tool it is. I want to use it. If it doesn't violate God's Word, I want to use it to do God's will. That's my desire. And so when I say God has a plan, look at it. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Now in some versions it says the word plans. In the King James it says, I know the thoughts. In other words, I've got thoughts for you. I've got plans for you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. To give you an expected end or an expected result. I've got a plan and this is the goal. This is the outcome that I want. Have you ever thought, did you know you can limit God? You can refuse to obey God. Sure, and as the song says, let the rocks keep silent because I want to be used of God. I want to praise Him. Let me do it. I don't need any rocks to do it. And that was the whole point that Jesus was making when He said it. That, listen, I'm still in Jeremiah 29. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken or hear, listen unto you. What's the condition? Verse 13 is the condition. You shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I ask you this morning, are you searching for God with all of your heart? I put on there, God has a desire for us. We should have a desire for Him. He is not the author of confusion or smart-aleck comments or finger-pointing, because a lot of times when you have distractions hit, and I'll say this, in my marriage, if there's ever been a time where Karen and I and things weren't rolling well, What would make the problem worse? And, I mean, I know some of you have blissful marriages and you've never had a cross word. You are full of bliss. Sometimes I won't take the blame. Sometimes I won't take the fall. And I'll lay it on. I mean, it's the kid's fault. It's somebody else. It's not my fault. You see what I mean? And I've said smart-aleck things to my wife. She's never said anything smart-aleck to me. Enough said. Yeah. You see what I mean, though? See what I mean? And it doesn't make a great marriage when that's happening. You see what I mean? And if that's the way it is, if I've got something wrong in my marriage, I've got to talk to her. And sometimes we have to wait for the. And she's pouted, I've pouted. Just don't talk. Then you get through it, and then you talk. That works. It happens at work. It happens that, in other words, you need good communication. I've got to have good communication with the Lord and in our church. But just put aside the distractions of this world, the distractions of the flesh, and answer me one question. What are you seeking, and how's your heart? I know that's two, but what are you seeking, and how's your heart this morning? God's looking for a people whose heart is completely His. Did you hear me? God's looking for a people whose heart is completely His. That's all my desire is this morning. If God's bothering you, it's because you need to make a decision. As we prepare for a hymn of invitation, would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Father, I pray that our heart would be completely yours this morning. I thank you for those who, even in this past 30 minutes, have turned their heart back to you. I lift up those that are still struggling to let go of whatever may be holding them back from just releasing it all to you. Whatever it may be, that rope, that anchor of pride or of whatever, we would just turn our hearts to you. May I have my eyes completely focused on you this morning. I realize it's so easy to get our eyes off of you. Distracted away from you. I look at other people. I look at problems. I look at situations. Dear Lord, help me to get my eyes off the storm and back on Jesus. If there's anyone here this morning that needs to make a decision, I pray that your Holy Spirit would lead them. In Jesus' name. Amen. As we all stand and turn to page number.
Hymn number 392.